welcome to another episode of Emrata Asks. So, this is sort of a part two to the ethical non-monogamy episode we did 2 weeks ago, but specifically, I'm going to be talking about jealousy because it's been on my mind. Hello, White Lotus, spoilers ahead, but also because so many people who submitted or talked to me on the street or my friends or even producers on the show were just like, yeah, no, it's a no from me. And the thing that they pointed to was jealousy specifically. This is funny. I saw actually a meme that was like, why does no one know the characters' names on White Lotus? Like, it's like Theo James's wife. Actually, her name is Daphne. I do know that. But I'm thinking about the relationship of Aubrey Plaza and her husband, and they're in this kind of desireless marriage. Again, spoilers ahead if you haven't listened or watched White Lotus, please skip ahead right now. I thought they did such a good job portraying his jealousy and his obsession with the idea that Aubrey Plaza slept with Theo James's character, his old friend, and how he's like staring at her in bed while she's sleeping, and all he can see is like Theo James on top of her and them having this passionate sex. It's not reality, but we switch from Aubrey Plaza's POV to her husband's, and you know, he's picturing what he thinks happened when he knocked on the door and it was latched. And what I love about this is there's this moment where you're like totally lost, and he seems like a reasonable character, but you know that Theo James has touched his wife's leg, that he undressed in front of her inappropriately and kind of out of nowhere. And you have the second of what's reality? And you know the way that jealousy feels, and it makes you kind of crazy. It makes you fantasize things and picture things that just push you further down into this hole of despair. And the best part about that, and I think what brings me back to E&M and a lot of the conversations that happen around jealousy with E&M, which I think are really interesting and helpful, even if you're not interested in ethical non-monogamy, is that he's right. He's right to be jealous. She is lying to him. And again, spoilers ahead. So please, I'm so sorry if you are watching or you haven't watched White Lotus yet. Hopefully, this is just one plot line in many, many, so hopefully I'm not ruining too much for you. But he's right. She's lying to him, and he knows it. And he says, like, I know. At one point, he's like, I still know you're lying to me, but I know enough now to be angry. And it's validating for him. But jealousy's a really interesting emotion, and I think we have so much shame around jealousy. Like, it's this ugly thing, especially when it comes to romantic relationships. Something that we should be ashamed of. But actually in E&M, you're really encouraged to examine your jealousy and to talk about it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this chapter on jealousy in The Ethical Slut, and then I'm going to reference a couple TikToks that I watched around jealousy. So let's get into it.
Stay tuned for more High Low with Emrata. Welcome back to High Low with Emrata.
So in The Ethical Slut, they say, jealousy is not a single emotion. It can show up as grief or rage, hatred or self-loathing. Jealousy is an umbrella word that covers the wide range of emotions we might feel when our partners make sexual connection with somebody else. They're obviously talking specifically about jealousy with a partner. And basically, the main thing from everything I read and listened to about polyamory and The Ethical Slut, which I think is why we have so much shame around jealousy, is that jealousy is usually something that indicates a much larger, deeper problem. In The Ethical Slut, here's another quote, jealousy is often the mask worn by the most difficult inner conflict you have going on right now, a conflict that's crying out to be resolved and you don't even know it. So to use the White Lotus example, you know, his jealousy in this particular situation isn't just jealousy about sexual, you know, chemistry that his wife might have with this person. It's the relationship that he has dating all the way back to college with Theo James's character, where there was always this competitiveness between them and this sort of like one-upping. And they're two men who relate to their masculinity and their identities very differently and thus relate to women very differently. And there's this competition between them. And Theo James's character has typically, you know, sort of tried to one-up his friend, so-called friend, by sleeping with women that he was interested in. And also on top of it, there's the feeling he has because in the relationship with his wife where, you know, she's not sexually fulfilled by him. She doesn't feel like they have sex enough. What I love about that example is like, this is not, it's not just a simple thing. There's so many complicated, deeper issues regarding his identity and who he is that make him kind of lose his mind with this idea of these two people connecting. What I like about thinking about jealousy in this way is like, instead of being ashamed of it and like, okay, it's just an ugly emotion and I need to put it away, or even being afraid of what it indicates, people who are involved in E&M really kind of embrace jealousy. They're like, you have to talk about jealousy and what it is and how to address it. And that's the only way you can move through it. And, you know, they make this point that I think is really, I mean, it's like, duh, but to me, it just, it's really nice. First and foremost, they say, let us point out that monogamy is not a cure for jealousy. And I saw on some TikToks and stuff, people are like, 50% of marriages end in divorce. In some ways, monogamy causes, it brings up jealousy in different ways. Like there's no way to avoid jealousy when there's romance involved, which I think is just kind of refreshing in some ways because you always see other people and you're like, oh, are they more enlightened? They don't have issues. And it's like, ultimately, jealousy can come up in a million different ways. And I do think it's indicative of whatever you're going through in that moment. So one of the things they encourage people to do is disempower your jealousy by, instead of by, you know, putting it away or trying to quell your anger or whatever, however the jealousy is showing, it's rearing its head, by really sitting with jealousy, like feeling it and being sad and being frustrated and being rageful and experiencing those emotions. And what I love is they say the first thing you will learn is that the experience of jealousy is survivable. That's what I loved about the White Lotus episode. Like it feels like he's not going to survive. That episode is about you're kind of wondering who's going to die. And at one point you're like, is he going to die? Because there's this sort of feeling of it's unbearable. And I think at one point he says like, if you're not honest with me, I can't move on. Like the obsession, it's so all consuming. And they even say that in the book, I don't want to ever feel this again. It's too awful. I'll die. I'll kill myself. Experiencing that jealousy, it's just like, oh, this like terrible pressure. I think everybody I know has experienced. I also want to say that they make a point of saying, because by the way, a lot of women wrote in or femme-presenting people wrote in and spoke to me and said, E&M just seems like this crazy excuse for like men to be able to fuck whoever they want and have multiple partners. And I don't like it. And, you know, the episode from 2 weeks ago, we talked to one person who'd brought it to their relationship. And then obviously the essay came, you know, that I was referencing, the husband in the relationship was the one who presented it. And listen, when I read that essay, my first feeling was like, wait, this woman just had a baby and her husband is like needing to open the relationship up. I felt angry. First of all, this person, just give her a second, you know, as somebody who's been through that postpartum experience, like it takes a minute to kind of feel connected to your body again and everything else. But I thought that was interesting and just a really like, I think a valid point. But again, you know, there are so many women who are the ones who bring this to their relationship. But I think in general, one of the things I liked about the conversation around jealousy, which somehow feels connected to that point about men just wanting to sleep with a bunch of women and not have to be held responsible to the relationship. I mean, if you're truly practicing E&M in a healthy way, you don't just like open your relationship up. You have, again, back to what I love that B brought to the conversation, they said, polyamory and ethical non-monogamy is more talking than fucking. So it actually should mean that your partner is talking to you and communicating more to you than they were before when you were in a monogamous relationship. And that speaks to one of the points they make about jealousy. Like everything we've talked about so far in this episode is how the person who's experiencing jealousy kind of needs to hold yourself accountable and do a deep introspective dive into what it is that's actually making you jealous. But also what I really like about what they say in this is like your partner also needs to be curious and about your jealousy and open to hearing about your jealousy. Like they quote, you know, you're jealous, aren't you? Don't try to deny it. You know, there's always this kind of accusation around jealousy of like, oh, you're jealous. Like I see it. It's a bad thing. And that also doesn't help with the jealousy because I think the ultimate truth of this is like that emotion should be respected, just like all emotions we experience. It needs to be respected. And that means your partner also needs to respect it. And instead of feeling threatened by it or blaming you, they need to say like, okay, you're experiencing jealousy. Like, what is it that I'm doing that's making this, you know, making you feel this way? What is it in this situation or about you? And like feeling like you have a loving, safe environment to experience that jealousy and to talk about that jealousy is so important. So I'm just thinking about all the women who are listening to this, who wrote in and said like, I don't want to do that because I think it's just like a man's way of basically taking advantage of something and being able to sleep with a bunch of women and whatever. Hopefully in an E&M, the goal here is to have a partner who, you know, is loving and open. And I don't know, even if you're not planning on practicing ethical non-monogamy or polyamory or anything like that, or being a swinger. There's so many terms now I've learned. There's a lot of differences between the ways that you open your relationship up and the limits and restrictions you have on that. I think that it's so beautiful that the idea that, you know, you could say to your partner, like I hope in my next relationship, I'll be able to say to my partner, I'm jealous and here's why. And like, here's how it makes me feel. And I think it's because of this thing and blah, blah, blah. And then being able to hear that and hold that without it upsetting them, I think that's really beautiful and important. The other distinction they make here is about kind of the way that sometimes what happens is after you feel ashamed of your jealousy, you act out. So instead of being able to talk through your jealousy, what often happens, which isn't okay and which isn't acceptable, is the way that we act out and we punish our partner because of our jealousy. And I think that's just supernatural. That's what happens when people aren't able to express their emotions. But that's the part of jealousy that's ugly and unfair, and you really have to watch yourself. But I think that's an important distinction than the feeling of jealousy and the experience of jealousy, which is human. So in The Ethical Slut, they kind of give a couple different methods for handling your jealousy. So, you know, one of the things is just what we already talked about, which is just like acknowledging your jealousy. But they're like, how do you do that, right? One of the things is like feeling your feelings. Like that means you need to go for a run or write. I like what they say, like basically finding an outlet for your rage or your anger or whatever you're feeling. Like they say, it's okay to cover pages of your journal with fuck, 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 I hate this, and write red ink if it feels good to you. So basically, you know, finding ways to do something with the anger or the grief or whatever, feel your feelings and experiencing them without putting them on to someone else. So then you can almost like move through them on your own. They also suggest like there's just babying yourself, like a nice cup of tea, like self-care, all the things, you know, just being like, okay, I'm really having a hard time now. Like, what do I need? What's going to make me feel better? Learning to take care of yourself. I mean, these are all things that are important with dealing with any emotions and feelings, but I actually think can be really hard with jealousy because of the shame we have around it. And because we are often afraid of jealousy.
Stay tuned for more High Low with Emrata.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you will instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. Two episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
Welcome back to High Low with Emrata. There's a TikTok that I watched from this woman, Sarah Gibson. Here's Sarah Gibson's little piece of her TikTok I really liked.
Setting very clear boundaries is a great way to mitigate these negative emotions coming up. And it's good to remember that a boundary is always going to be setting a limit for what you're willing to tolerate, as opposed to trying to control someone else's behavior. An example would be, if you cheat on me, I will leave the relationship because I don't want to be with someone who's dishonest. Whereas trying to control someone else's behavior is, you can't cheat on me, you can't see that woman, you can't talk to this person. They're probably going to do it anyway if they really want to. That's why it's important to bring the attention back to you, yourself, your relationship, making sure everything is okay on that very fundamental, foundational basis before we start looking at outside factors, because oftentimes the problem is at home. It is not the structure of a relationship that makes one secure. Divorces happen all the time to 50% of marriages. It is always going to be the relationship you have with your partner and yourself above all else that creates true security.
She basically says, like, yeah, you know, the truth is once we investigate where our jealousy comes from, it's scary because it could be that your partner isn't making you feel secure enough. It could be from something that you're insecure about with yourself that you're scared to admit or look at. So a lot of the times there's a reason we don't look at our jealousy. It's because we don't want to know what's underneath there. And I think that acknowledging that it's a really brave thing to face your own jealousy is a huge part of this as well. Then reassurance, which again, I don't know. I feel like this is something I've had a hard time with, and I think a lot of my friends do. Coming to your partner and saying to your partner, I need reassurance. Neediness is such a quality that we, you know, look down on in our culture. It's like such a gross thing. Nobody wants to be needy. So even though we rely on marriage and there's, you know, so many rules and ideas we have around monogamy and marriage and what that means and what that should look like, that doesn't actually speak to the safety of the relationship at all. That is between two people, and it's about the boundaries that you guys create and about the way those people make you feel and about how you relate to each other and each other's emotions, and I think in particular jealousy. But ultimately, like a loving relationship, you need to be able to go to your partner and say, okay, I've done the work myself of how I can take care of myself, move through these emotions, whatever, but now I need reassurance from you. I need you to tell me certain things. Another thing that they talk about, which again goes back to the White Lotus scene and why it's so good, Go for the Ick is the title of this section. And they basically say, like, what happens when you don't know, when you don't know, when there's a blank thing, like there's images that come into our mind. So you start imagining the scariest stuff and you start projecting it onto whatever. They describe those disturbing images, the ones that really bother you, are not telling you what your partner is doing. So again, I'm thinking about that scene where we're in his POV, in his imagination, and you're seeing what he is imagining and you're like, fuck, is it real? You actually don't know what your partner is doing. And that's the truth, which is also the difficult part. When we don't know what's going on, few of us are able to just say, I just don't know, and stop thinking about it. We fill in the blanks, and to do that, we make something up. It's just our way, our brain's way of making sense of things. What you see when you fill in the blanks has nothing to do with reality. It is your fear. So now you know what you're afraid of and know nothing about what is really happening. Our minds, like nature, abhor a vacuum. We get nervous. Basically, like, you know, just how quickly and easily we kind of project. So what they suggest, one powerful way to come to terms with your fears is to acknowledge them. Yes, I'm afraid of that. So, you know, it's almost like having a nightmare and being like, okay, what about this nightmare was so scary? What is my brain trying to work out? And it's a way of reality testing. Reality is almost always less terrifying than the fiction that you'll create in your mind. So they say you can counter your fears with reality testing. And I think that's such a good exercise. It's almost like being a little kid and having the monster under your bed and imagining them. And then when you go and look and you actually, you know, look under your bed, it helps not be afraid of the monster. So talking about jealousy is obviously, you know, a tricky thing. And again, people have so much shame around it, but it's something everyone experiences, not just in a romantic context, but in other ways. Like envy is a close sister to jealousy. I think it feels different. I'd be curious how one, I feel like everyone would maybe define jealousy and envy differently. I think envy to me is somebody has something that you don't, and jealousy is more complicated. Envy is almost an easier, you can solve envy in an easier way, or you can identify it more easily, whereas jealousy is often much more layered. So I'd love to hear from all of you more about your experiences with jealousy and like how you handle those. And, you know, if you have different opinions around jealousy, and like maybe it's just you don't think it's as much about being accountable for yourself and it's more about your partner. Again, I feel that because in the beginning of this episode, when we were talking about that White Lotus scene, he knows that his wife is lying to him. And I think a lot of the times jealousy does come from a real place. I mean, I know how many of my friends have said to me, like, this person, their relationship with my partner bothers me. And then after they break up or whatever else, they're like, I knew it. And they knew it because people are smart and intuitive and whatever. I think that if in those cases, I do think that if you talk to your partner and your partner's like, oh, yeah, like if there's space for your partner to be like, oh, yeah, I guess I do kind of have a flirtation with that person. What does that mean for us? It's like so much less scary. It's not just right and wrong. It's like, let's take a look at what this means about me, about where I'm at in my life, about our relationship, all those things. I mean, listen, I know that this is like a little bit Buddhist enlightened dream fantasy world, but I think it's important to at least just think outside the box when it comes to this stuff, because I don't think necessarily the way that we handle or think about jealousy in our culture right now is working. Thank you for tuning in. Go to highlow.fm to submit your thoughts around ENM and jealousy. I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you. High Low with M. Ratta is a Sony Music Entertainment, Bitch Era Media, and Something Else production produced by Chelsea Jacobson. Our executive producers are me, Emily Radikowski, and Sarita Wesley. Our senior producer is Medina Parwana, and our associate producer is Rachel Choder. Today's episode was engineered by Samantha Gatzik, with original music by The Crystal Pharaoh. Thanks for listening.